Welcome on in, everybody, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, brought to you in part by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, Gino Camilleri, joining you on this Wednesday, June 12th edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. The sun is shining, things are looking up in Philadelphia Eagles world. Everything's going their way, just outside of a couple things, but on this edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, we're going to spend most of the time in segments 2 and 3 talking about this Carson Wentz deal, the talk of the town, the talk of the city in Philadelphia. The numbers just came out from Field Yates today regarding how that salary, how that cap number breaks down from year to year, and our good friend Liam Jenkins over at the Philly Sports Network just put out an excellent piece breaking that down. How everything plays in, how incentives play in, how the signing bonus plays in, and I'm going to kind of walk through that, give you guys a breakdown of this contract and how it really stacks up against the quarterbacks around the rest of the league. But before we get there, some big pieces of news coming out of Philadelphia this last week. First, we start off with Joe Douglas, unfortunately being hired by the New York Jets. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago on Fast Five Fridays, that it was an inevitability that Joe Douglas was going to get hired. We just didn't know when. There were reports that the Jets weren't willing to pay Joe Douglas, which I thought was kind of crazy, as in there's no salary cap on what you can pay head coaches, on what you could pay general managers, anybody in the front office. So if somebody wants a guy, especially of the caliber of Joe Douglas, they should be willing to pay an arm and a leg for the guy. And frankly, that's what the Jets did. Come to find out, Joe Douglas does find his way to the Jets. He is now their current general manager, taking the place of Mike Maccagnan. It's good to see him out of the division, but it's also sad to see him go away from Philadelphia, because we talked about it time and time again, how great of a relationship him and Howie had, how much improvement we've seen from Howie Roseman over the past couple years that Joe Douglas has been here. And one of the great things to understand in business and understand in just the world is when you're set in your ways, there's no room for growth. But when people come in and question and ask, why do we do some things this way? Why don't we do some things the other way? That's where you make leaps and bounds and grow as a person. And that's exactly what Howie Roseman did under Joe Douglas. Within the relationship between the two gentlemen, Howie learned a ton, as you can see in what he's done structuring contracts, how he has drafted, how he has just developed and built a roster. You have seen a lot of the elements that Joe Douglas has brought from his prior opportunities in Baltimore, in Chicago, and brought them to Philadelphia. And you've seen that. And I don't think the purge stops here. I still think there are some scouts in the organization that are going to go with Joe Douglas. You tend to see that once head scouts and the player personnel guys tend to go out. They tend to take, quote, their guys with them because they built a rapport, they understand, and get guys in the building that look at players the same way they do and understand how they scout. And I'm sure a lot of those guys are going to miss Joe Douglas in that building and want to go join him in New York. And they totally should. They totally have the right to. That's just how the NFL works. It is a business. We say it time and time again. And just look at yourself in the mirror and say, if I had the opportunity to go just from a low-level paying job or just a middle-medium management job to a CEO position, I'm sure a lot of us would take it. And that's exactly what it is to be a GM in the NFL. Moving from VP of player personnel or whatever you want to call it in respects to whatever team you are with, it's still the second guy, the middle management, I would say, of developing a roster. He wanted to be the guy. It's been known since his time back in Chicago, back in Baltimore, that this guy had the prowess to be a general manager. When the Eagles first hired him, I was very excited about it because a lot of people around the league were talking this guy up as the next big thing, and I think he was exactly that. I think he came in here and really revolutionized this Eagles front office, really revolutionized what they have done in packaging and preparing a roster for Sundays, and now it's time to move on. He's no longer with us in Philadelphia. We have to address that position of VP player personnel. Who knows if they do it internally? Who knows if they do it externally? I frankly like to see internal movement, but I also don't mind external movement because it brings in different ideologies. I've mentioned that time and time again with how Doug Peterson runs his offense. It was time to bring in somebody from the outside, and they are going to continue to do that as guys like Mike Groh are going to continue. They'll probably get... He'll probably get a head coaching job, probably sooner rather than later. If the Eagles continue to have success, you see what everybody that's been around Sean McVay, anybody who's tied Sean McVay's shoes, has gotten a job. I think Doug Peterson sooner or later is going to develop into that. And look at him. In his second year, he won a Super Bowl. So the guy knows what he's talking about. He knows how to build an offense. He knows how to build a team. And now there's one element of this team that still is not too happy in Philadelphia at the current moment, and that is Malcolm Jenkins. And I think Howie Roseman's next big task outside of finding another VP of player personnel is getting Malcolm Jenkins signed. Gladly he came to camp. He did not do what Adam Schefter said and sit out of camp, but he had some very, very bold quotes yesterday. And honestly, I respect the hell out of Malcolm Jenkins, and yesterday only made me improve and increase the amount of respect I had for him. He said, frankly, he thinks he's outperformed his contract. And you know what? I absolutely think he does too. He's getting paid right now. He's right inside the top 10. But he is a top 5 safety in football. No doubt about it. Any day of the week. You saw the money that Landon Collins got this offseason. Somebody look at me right now and tell me that you think Landon Collins is a better overall safety than Malcolm Jenkins. I don't think you're going to find too many people that agree with that statement. Earl Thomas, on the other hand, you can absolutely make that argument. Tyrann Mathieu, I'd put him right there. I would put Malcolm Jenkins deservedly at a Tyrann Mathieu-esque level of pay. I think $14.5 million is the perfect threshold for him. And right now he's making $9 million. With what they're paying Carson now, and we're going to get into that coming up, and what they have in salary cap at the moment, if they don't re-sign Malcolm Jenkins, one, it's a bad taste for this culture, because we've seen an elite safety walk out the doors of Philadelphia one time, and it put a sour taste in fans' mouth, it put a sour taste in the defense's mouth, and it overall killed the overall swag that Philadelphia Eagles team when Brian Dawkins left. I think, and I know that Malcolm Jenkins is the heartbeat of that defense. Fletcher Cox, he's going to make things happen on the field, but there's one guy that really makes that unit go, the quarterback of that offense. Now that Jordan Hicks is gone, is absolutely Malcolm Jenkins. He's a guy that can, he could call out plays. Being at the safety position, you have to understand what the 21 guys in front of you are doing at any given time. And Malcolm, there's a reason he's been around this long. He's a versatile piece that has played corner. He's a guy that has matchup on tight end. He's matchup against slot safeties. He's a guy you could put into, or slot wide receivers, mind you. He's a guy you could put into the box to stop the run. Overall, he is everything Philadelphia wants in a safety, and he's everything you want in a safety in the NFL when you are drafting guys. I said this to Lou last week, and I still think it's the case that they had all the intention in the world of working a Malcolm Jenkins restructure and to pay him more, as they did not draft a young safety, because I totally think that they would have brought a young safety in to, one, be insurance if Malcolm didn't show up for camp, and two, to develop behind Malcolm for the couple years that he is here to eventually take the lead on that, take the safety position as a whole and make it his own. But right now, it's still our boy, Malcolm Jenkins. So, Howie Roseman, if you want to make Eagles fans happy, you just paid our franchise quarterback. Go out there and pay the quarterback of our defense, because he deservedly so deserves to be paid like a top 5 safety in the NFL. So, enough of the news around the Philadelphia Eagles. After this break, we are going to get into the Carson Wentz talk. My favorite player in for the Eagles, one of my top 5 players in Eagles history, even though he's only a couple years into the league. Just the way he commands his team is everything we want in a franchise quarterback, and I'm sure glad Howie Roseman got that done. So come on back for segment number 2 of the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome on back to segment number 2 of the Locked On Eagles podcast on June 12th. It is a Wednesday. I like to call this first Friday because we are almost to Friday, tomorrow being Thursday. We're closer to the end of the week, closer to the weekend, but we are still plenty of Sundays away from American football. Can see the Women's World Cup going on right now. Shout out, congrats to the USA women on that victory. But we're getting back to the American football that you and I love personally. And talking a little Carson Wentz. Not just a little, but a mega Carson Wentz. A mega deal, we will say. One of the most expensive deals in history of football. The absolute most expensive deal in Philadelphia Eagles history. Just got a little easier to stomach today with these numbers that came out. Time and time again, we say that Howie Roseman is a wizard. I'm going to inevitably build a bronze statue of the man in my home once we have a couple more Super Bowl rings under our belt, led by Carson Wentz. That is wishful thinking, but I absolutely think it is a possibility. And step number one was securing your franchise quarterback for years to come. So, Carson Wentz, four-year extension through year 2024. Field Yates, NFL Insider, today broke down the numbers on Carson Wentz's deal. Signing bonus is just north of $16 million. Not terrible, especially because you're going to average that out over the 5 years of the contract, because it's, I don't think you can average it out over six. I know there's something in the CBA that signing bonuses only can be averaged out over 5 years. So, right now you're sitting in 2019, base salary of $720,000. So let that sink in. Philadelphia Eagles are paying a man of the caliber of Carson Wentz $720,000. No, that is not his cap hit, but that's his base salary, and that absolutely plays into the cap number of this player. He has a low base salary. When he comes on the team in 2020, he's going to be making the same thing. But one big headache about that is the option. And we'll talk about the option in a little bit. I'm just getting into the basic numbers right now. 2021, he has a $3.9 million base salary with a $10 million roster bonus. 2022, $18.5 million base salary and a $1,000. No, not mistaken. Not $1 million. A $1,000 roster bonus. That's just a funny stat. I can't ever remember a contract seeing not even tens of thousands of dollars of roster bonuses unless it's a UDFA, but especially for a quarterback of this caliber to have a $1,000 roster bonus is quite hysterical. But Carson Wentz makes his money in other places, especially in 2023 when he has an $18 million salary with a $5 million roster bonus. In 2024, he has a $21 million base salary with a $5 million roster bonus. He has a 2020 option for $30 million, as I've mentioned, and then incentives and escalators of $16 million. Pretty standard for a quarterback of his caliber if you look around the league and see these Russell Wilson deals, these Matt Ryan deals. They are structured relatively the same way. And the great thing about it is that there aren't many people in the world that understand caponomics, as our good friend Zach Moore would say, better than Howie Roseman. Howie Roseman has a master's, a doctorate, whatever you want to call it, in understanding the salary cap. So, he set this up in a good way. That is, it's going to hurt in the middle, but when you get to the end of this contract, you're going to be sitting there and saying, man, this is a good deal. This is a bargain. Because right now, you're sitting there, you have a low base salary. The cap numbers, they're going to continue to increase as we go along. We know that is the case. But right now, this is structured in a way that is pretty team-friendly. So our good friend over at PSN, Philly Sports Network, my future employer in the media industry, Liam Jenkins, put out an excellent piece about 25 minutes before I hopped on the podcast. It's called, "Have the Eagles Crafted One of the Best QB Contracts in NFL History?" Quite the sentiment, but I absolutely think so. So, to begin, I'm going to break this down as black and white as possible. It is very, very tough to understand. So, as I said prior, signing bonuses can be paid out over the course of a contract, but it is limited to 5 years. Liam Jenkins backs up my point on that. So, he has a $16 million roster bonus that's just over $3 million a year. So, you could spread that out all the way up until 2023. Still not terrible. That roster bonus that you could spread out the 5 years, it's not bad. Just over $3 million, not terrible. So, then you're going to get up into incentives. Not really sure what the incentives are. We'll find that. I'm sure more and more will come out about this contract. But you have $16 million. So, Liam, he said, we can't really touch them now. Obviously, because we don't know what they are. And that's how it is. This is kind of a guessing game in regards to the salary cap and in regards to this contract. So, he goes into great depth talking about this 2020 option. And this is one thing that scares people. A lot of people I saw on Twitter today were saying, oh, it's an out to get out of this deal if need be. I don't think that's the case. Fletcher Cox has a very similar contract, or a similar clause in his contract as well. I talked about this massive cap hit number that is coming up on Fletcher Cox's deal. It's just around $25 million, and that's in the option year. And how he does this, so he gives himself some flexibility, but it is a lot how many big-time contracts are built in the NFL. So don't let the word option scare you out from this deal. Don't make it seem, don't start writing conspiracy theories that the Eagles are trying to get out from the Carson Wentz deal in 2020, because it is simply not the case. All it means, and I think Liam had a great, great breakdown of this, and I'm going to read it out for you, and I'll give him all the credit in the world. He did this. Imagine you have self-storage and just bought 182 boxes of new Jordans to try and sell and make some cash. You can't keep them at your house, so you store them in a container until you have some buyers. In a worst-case scenario, you get no buyers, and you're just going to have to take the L and make the wife unhappy by storing them all in the bedroom, using them as cereal bowls, etc. Best case scenario, you begin shipping them out to your friends over the next few months and clearing that space. And that's exactly what this option allows them to do. So, come 2020, the Eagles pick up that option. What happens? So, now the Eagles have the ability to divide that up over the remaining years of his deal. So, instead of $30 million cap hit, you can now spread that over the life of his remaining years. Pretty smart idea. Hey, what do you say? So if you were to structure that and put all of his roster money not in a bonus or not in this option, you would not be able to restructure it over those 5 years. You'd be stuck with that $30 million number in 2020, something that Howie Roseman really cannot afford to do because he's going to try and continue to build this roster in the most competitive fashion, and dishing out $30-plus million in cap space to a quarterback isn't the wisest decision. So, he had to go about this route, and that's exactly what he did. You look at what the Saints are looking at in Drew Brees if he decides to stick around for one more year at 40-some-odd million dollars as a cap hit come 2020. The Eagles aren't going to be in a situation like that, and other competitive teams aren't going to be in a situation like that. And because of Howie Roseman and how he structured this deal, the Eagles are set up in a way that they will be able to compete and still pay very good players, but still have an elite quarterback at the same time. So there's much more to get into around this contract. We're going to come back and finish it up in segment three. But if you need more and you need to dig in more, continue to read this post by Liam Jenkins. Go watch his video. He is an excellent individual when it comes to this stuff. We try to get Zach Moore on the show today. Liam has talked to him a bunch and get deeper into the insight around this deal. But I'm trying to do my best laying this out as black and white as possible for you guys. And Howie Roseman does it in a way that makes it as hard as finding King Midas's silver. So come on back on segment number three of the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to segment three of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Just finishing up the Carson Wentz talk in regards to his contract. We talked about the signing bonuses. We talked about the option. And now, exactly what does this break down to? So, continuing on, we talked about this $25.6 million number last week. I broke that down. That's what he would be averaging out over the life of this contract. If you were to break it down, his rookie deal plus his current extension and prorated over 6 years. That's $25.6 million. And that's the average contract value. We'll call that that. Now, our good friend Liam Jenkins pointed out that it's not exactly 25.6. It's going to cost around $27 million, which is not terrible for an elite quarterback. We talk about all of these factors, the CBA coming up, TV deals coming up, the class of 2017's quarterbacks having to get paid, Jared Goff and Dak Prescott's quarterback contracts having to get paid. The Eagles are in one of the most prime positions as a team currently to win. But what did this contract do? It set them up to not just win now, but win in 2020, 2021, and all the way through 2024 because he has manageable contract numbers and manageable cap hits that the Eagles are going to continue to play with and continue to restructure as Carson Wentz continues to have success. We look at Tom Brady and what he is making. How many times have they restructured Tom Brady's contract? It's countless. It seems like every offseason he just takes a restructure. And that's the greatness about the NFL. And then until the CBA puts in a hard cap, they put in these limits, and they put in more guaranteed money, which are going to affect the cap hits, the Eagles and every other NFL team has the ability to structure contracts much in the way that Howie Roseman structured the Carson Wentz deal. And for instance, you look back to last season with John Lynch and Jimmy Garoppolo. This contract is built similarly to what the contract of Jimmy G has. So, if you're going to continue this trend, why not make it too hard on you and look what your competitors have done and see what they have done at the quarterback position. And I think this option is going to be a continued trend in these quarterback deals because you can play with it. You can prorate this cap hit over X number of years. And teams continue to do that. You look at Tom Brady. You look at the contracts like Zach Ertz, Jason Kelsey, Connor Barwin when he was here. Guys continue to restructure, even Brandon Brooks, so he could give money to Nick Foles, he said. He restructured his contract. Until there is a hard cap, don't get hung up on this salary cap, especially when you're playing a positional player at the most important position of football, a reasonable contract, because we're going to be sitting here 4 years from now, 3 years from now, and saying, man, this Carson Wentz number, when Pat Mahomes is getting paid 36 per, when this class of 2017 is getting paid just north of 35, 36 per, we're going to be sitting here and saying, Carson Wentz has now led us to a couple playoff runs. We now have a great quarterback that we could continue to build around. Yes, is it going to be difficult to bring in great names, these high-caliber players like Alshon's and like your DeSean Jackson's, as it continues to grow? We may think that, but look at this roster that they have compiled currently. It is a great place to be in. It is a great contract that Howie Roseman has constructed. It was a great article put out by Liam Jenkins. Absolutely go check it out. All credit to Philly Sports Network. And we're in a great situation to compete this year. But Howie Roseman, don't forget the quarterback of the defense. Go out there. Pay Malcolm Jenkins. Hashtag get Jenkins paid. Get it trending. Everybody, thank you for listening to the Locked On Eagles podcast. Once again, on this fine, beautiful weather outside here in Buffalo, New York. We got 65 and sunny skies. Not the greatest by any standards, but hey, we've been in 7 months of winter, so it's great. We're one day closer, one season closer to the opening day of the NFL. We got our guy. We got Carson Wentz. We all we got. We all we need here in Philadelphia, as the great Malcolm Jenkins would say. Check us out on Twitter at @Gino_LOE, @DiBiase_LOE, and at the mothership at Lockdown Birds. Always check out Lockdown Podcast Network. Check us out on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, anywhere that you can get your podcasts. Check us out. We're doing stuff all the time. We're putting up great written content. You guys want to hear a piece? You guys want to hear us talk about something? Please reach out. Please get into our DMs. We are always open for suggestions, always taking questions, always taking feedback. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. And thank you for your continued fandom of the Philadelphia Eagles, and fly, Eagles, fly.